Mark chapter number 8. I told you that already, right? Okay, should have been close. Mark chapter number 8, verse 34. Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Verse 37, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in the church house. Thank you that we could sing these songs together. God, it's good to hear that churches across the northern border are opening back up this morning and next week. And God, I pray you'd be with them. God, we need you here right now. Lord, I pray that you'd use this passage, the things that we'll be discussing even this week, to challenge our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd move through this place, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If there was a verse or two that would... this week, for Vacation Bible School, we are looking at the life of Nate Saint. Nate Saint is one of five men that... went down into Ecuador, participated in something called Operation Auca. And if there were verses to describe their life, it would be this, for verse 35 and 36, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That was kind of like the last verse that we just looked at, verse 4. Giving up your own self-will and your own desires and your own comforts for the gospel's sake. And we're going to ask that question. I'm going to ask that question to you today. I'm going to challenge you with that thought. What's your life worth? In verse 35, it says, for whosoever. We love the whosoever of Romans chapter number 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was talking to Pastor Seatman. We were looking over Brother Jones's. How many of you know Brother Raymond Jones? Remember Brother Jones? He just had a two-day camp in Mexico where it wasn't a children's camp. It was a camp for addicts. 25 addicted people came to camp. How do you think that went? 12 trusted Christ. Praise the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, we love those verses. We cling to those verses. That's why we go door to door. Because you have an opportunity to choose Christ. As the Holy Spirit draws you to Christ, to the Father, you can choose that. You could be a child of I was talking to a couple young teenagers this past week, and they were older teenagers, but at the age of 9 or 10, they trusted Christ, put all their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you got saved a little bit older in life. Maybe you lived through some things, made it through high school and about 25 years of age when you were questioning where your life was going or what was happening in your life. You sat down and go, there has got to be more to this life than what I just see. God, if you're real, show me. And whosoever called on him that day. Maybe it was later in your life, maybe 40, 50, your marriage was falling apart or there was some sort of catastrophe and you needed God. You walked through a church house, a place that you vowed that you would never enter in, and you knelt in the humbleness of your heart and asked Jesus Christ to save you, and he did. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've been wrestling in your own heart with this very thought. And it's good to know that whosoever calls on him. Everybody has an opportunity. And approximately, I think it's 7 or 10 days, we're going to start the Olympics. I think they're scheduled to still start. You never know. These are the 2020 Olympics in 2021. You see the problem, Jacob? Okay, good. So here we are. We're getting ready for the Olympics. And I say, you know what? I'm going to try that shot put thing. Hey, move over, sir. I'm going to try and do that. That is not a whosoever. All-Star game this past week. Home run derby. Excuse me, sir, why don't you sit down? I'm going to take your turn. No, that's not a whosoever. You walk into the White House and say, Mr. Biden, I think I'm going to give you the day off. I'm going to run this play. That is not a whosoever. But we know that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin has the opportunity for that. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's available for everybody. You just have to take it. All you do is have to take it. Take the opportunity. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 is no different. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. For whosoever, there is an opportunity here. There's no qualifier. There's no ability that you have to have. There's not something, hey, you've got to understand advanced math. You have to understand how to literature and write. You have to be able to run this fast. You need this amount of money in the bank account. You need this prestige. You need this age. You need this health. You need this experience. Hey, whosoever, it says. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Our children are trying to learn the value of saving. Hudson is saving up for something. I forget what he's saving up for, but he keeps asking me for money. I'm not sure if that's really saving because he's taking it. I feel like I'm purchasing, but that's fine. He's saving his money. He's got his bank account. He has a tally in his head. I said, how much have you saved up? $74. He's up. He's saving. And we try and encourage our people. Hey, do you understand what it says here? If you try and preserve your life, I'm going to control my life. I'm going to dictate what's going to happen. Hey, you're going to miss out on a great opportunity. Great opportunity. A life-changing opportunity. An eternity changing opportunity. Just like for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you try and save your life, I don't care who you are, you're going to lose it. That's what the Bible says. But, look at this beautiful verse. But whosoever shall lose his life, now there's a preposition after that, for my sake, and the gospel's the same, shall save it. What's your life worth? This is an opportunity for all. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter number 6. Yeah, this week we're talking about Nate Saint. If you've read any of it, maybe you've read a book or so. I think there's one called The Jungle Pilot. I think... Through the Gates of Splendor, is that the books? Tell the story of these young men. I think the oldest one was maybe 33. I think that's the oldest. I love the story of the missionary that went to the cannibals and the pilot says, ma'am, I just can't, I don't feel good about landing you here. Do you understand the people that are there? And he says, I can't do it. I'm going to take you back. And she says, no, you put me down there. God told me to go there. I want to go there. And he says, yeah, but everyone I've dropped off is a one-way ticket. They do not come back. He says, ma'am, the pilot says this. He says, ma'am, you're going to die. She says, I died before I came. She got in on this. There's a group of young men that got in on this. Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does the Bible say? God forbid. God forbid, in our newfound liberty in Christ, our grace that he has just poured out. Does that mean I have a license to sin? He says, no way. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, hey, I gave up on my will. I said, I'm not going to do what I want anymore. God, you take control. You know what God does? He does just that. He does things with your life that you cannot even begin to orchestrate and put together. And that's available for everybody. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake. I'm not saying that you take your own life. I'm saying you yield your will to God's. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Old man died. Sinful nature's gone. Now look at what's available. It's not till you come to Christ, till you really start living. Because living for yourself is empty and hollow and without results. But living for Christ, that's when things really start going. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, don't be ashamed. Look at John chapter number 12. Whosoever. There was no doubt when we studied the life. Now, we're not making these five men deity. They were not God. They were not perfect. They were men just like you and I. But they just said, God, wherever you want us to go, we'll go. And they went to a place that had never heard the gospel before. Say, is that what God's going to do with me if I give my life to him? It's possible. But he'll do with you whatever he wants. And it will be better than what you could ever come up with. John chapter 12 and verse 25 says this. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. For where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There's a service. Hey, as I yield myself to the use of God, it's not me telling God how to use me. It's me making myself available for God to use me any way he sees fit. It's in whatever place, because I've yielded my will to him. I've lost my life. I've given up on it. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 23. So what does that look like? It looks like service to a holy, righteous God. That's what it looks like. It says, doesn't sound very fun. Hey, do you remember you're not in it for fun? Colossians 3:23 says, for whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hey, when the whosoever, that's you, says, I give up on my life, I want to live for the gospel's sake, he says, you're serving me. We have next week, starting tomorrow, is Vacation Bible School, but we actually have 2 weeks of Vacation Bible School. Say, well, I didn't know about the second week. It's this past week. It's the setup week. It's building stuff, painting stuff, breaking stuff. It's assembling. It's the attempt of assembling. Say, is that service to the Lord? It is with the intention. We put all these decorations up. We buy pixie sticks and gummies and worms and dirt, and we do, and we build things that are supposed to look like airplanes, Chris. I say Chris because he did his, and his is going to look better than my plane. And we do all of that in an attempt to bring little people here to hear the gospel. And hear how, twofold, hear how important it is that they give their life to Christ. How many of you would recognize, wow, that would have saved me a lot of trouble had I given my life to Christ at 8, 9, 10. I'd be at a totally different place right now. Heard a great message at camp on that Thursday night from Brother Barnhouse. Talked about all the things he had to get through and all the difficulties and the bad decisions he made. And he told our young people, you are light years ahead of where I was. This week we're going to have a number of children coming in with the opportunity to hear the gospel, but also an opportunity of consecration. God, here's my life for you. And do you understand that that is available not just to little children, but it's available to whosoever. That's you here today. Say, I did that a long time ago, but it's been a while. I think I've taken back my will. I think I've taken control of the steering wheel. I think I moved the Lord out of the driver's seat. I think I'm piloting this plane. I think I'm driving this ship. How about you get back into service to Christ the Lord? How about, and as it said, not only in service, but to follow Him? Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse 12. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again, John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As we follow Christ, what are we following? We're actually following the light. 1 Peter chapter number 4. If you were to summarize the book of 1 Peter, it's one word. If I were to say, what is 1 Peter about? It's about suffering. Life produces suffering. Following Christ, there's a level of suffering about it. Say, I don't want that. Let's look at what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire of trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Hey, when you do right, when you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, say, is everything just turn out rosy? No, actually, you step into a battlefield that you weren't in before. It actually might get a little more difficult. He says, don't think that strange, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, He may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. If I read the effects of you yielding your will to God's and saying, God, I give up on my life. Take me anywhere you want. Do with me whatever you want to do. And I said, I didn't say that was the part, but if I said, God's glory will be upon you, that you'll have an opportunity to glorify Him, you'll be happy, exceeding joy. Say, yes, whatever that is, that's what I want. And you say, all right, give up your life for His. Well, is there another way to get that? I mean, can I somehow get that with still doing what I want? Can I run my own life and still get the joys of God? No. I'm going to see that in our next verse. But suffering equals happiness and glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. What's your life worth this morning? The Bible makes an opportunity for whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, same shall save it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departing is at hand. This is Paul talking. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Have you served him? Have you followed him? Have you even suffered with him? Have you yielded your will to his? Are you ready for this? The Bible says, for I am now ready to be offered. Say, well, Paul was old at this point. I mean, he had lived a good long time. He's trying to instruct Timothy, trying to help the next generation. He was ready to. Paul had this mentality from day one. Are you ready? Say, well, my plan was to live for me for a while, and then once I settle down, then I'll give my life to God. You understand that that will be your habit, and that's what you'll do forever. You will put off doing what God, and you will be miserable, and you'll be angry, and you'll be bitter. Why? Because you're not where you're supposed to be. Because you took leadership in your life instead of, and you lost it. You tried to save it, but the Bible says you lose it. The only way to really live is to live for Him, for His sake, for the gospel's sake. Then at the end, you can say, I've done everything I could for the Lord. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and verse 24, it says this, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Finish my course with joy. Joy comes from obedience. Say, oh, I got a plan. I'm going to retire. I'm going to get this nice little condo down by the beach, and I'm going to live in Miami, and it's going to be nice and warm. You won't find joy there. Move out to California. I'm going to go up north. I'm going to go down south. I'm going to go overseas. I've worked so hard, and at 62 and a half, I'm going to just retire and just stop church and just kind of, I gave my best years. That's not what it says, is it? It says, I'm going to finish with joy. I'm here to tell you today, the only way you'll have joy in your life is obedience to God. Now, if God sends you to those places, praise the Lord, have at it. He gives me a place to come visit. Great. But we finish serving Him when our life is over. There's not a time. Remember, it says, whosoever. Yeah, but if you're 65 plus, this doesn't count. If you're retired from, remember Kodak? No, whosoever shall lose his life, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. God allows us to, John chapter 10 allows us to live an abundant life. I understand that. He created things for us to enjoy. That's what the scripture says. But don't lose focus. Don't move the Lord out of the driver's seat and take control at a certain point in your life, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80. Always be in the passenger, the back seat, way back in the trailer saying, God, you lead me wherever it is that you want me to go. For whosoever. Finish well. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, the second verse, the Bible says in Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. Listen to verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? asking the question again this morning, what is your life worth? What is a soul worth? It must be very valuable. See, why do you think that? Because both the devil and God himself are fighting for yours. Your soul must be something special. A soul of mankind, both eternal things are vying for it. And the Bible says this, what shall profit of man if he gain the whole world? What does gain the whole world mean? To win the world's game using the world's rules. Fulfilling your fleshly desires, pleasures. Do you understand? Satisfying your temptations will never give you happiness. Fame, power, wealth. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a losing strategy. I love board games. I love to play games. And I try and think about, okay, how's it going to get me the most victory points? Or how's it going to get me the most winning coins? Or how's it... That? And you look at strategy. Playing Stratego. Where's his flag? Well, he's got all these bombs around there. Tell me, you know. This will bring me happiness. Fulfilling pleasures. Power, fame, wealth, that will make me happy. That is a losing strategy. Because what shall profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? All these things do is keep you from worshiping God. These are idols. These are expressions of pride. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I can do better with my life than God can, you've lied to yourself. You've been lied to. Do you understand that the devil, what does God have to offer? God has love. What does the devil have to offer? Hatred and anger. Peace. Wars. Righteousness, sin. Tell me one good thing the devil has to offer. Nothing. Yet we put so much investment in what this world has to offer. What shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world? There are people that have spent their life just hoping for that winning lottery ticket. Can I tell you the worst thing that could happen to them? Is for them to win. Not to mention the amount that they've wasted. But do you understand how detrimental and destructive that would be to your life? Read the accounts of people that have won and all that they lost. Read the accounts of those that rose to power using the world's rules. And all that they had to give up for that. Read about those that have fulfilled every earthly pleasure and what they have destroyed to get there. I'm telling you, the world has nothing to offer. But whosoever, hey, if you're hearing these words here this morning, there's an opportunity. If I came to you and said, oh, wait, listen, there's this new cryptocurrency. This thing is going to blow up. It is 10 cents a share. On Tuesday, it's going to be $5 a share. Take everything you have and just put it right into it. Can't miss. There's some can't miss things with the scriptures. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. You want to talk about gains and losses? How many have like a portfolio, right? Like it's not like a stocks or something like that. And you look at it and, okay, this one's green, this one's red, green. Okay, and some are gains, some are losses. And Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, gains and losses. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. The greatest possessions, he says, in my life. The things that I strive for the hardest. The things that I work for. The things that I wanted, he says, were a complete waste in eternity. It was a waste loss. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, but for one thing, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He says, but everything I gave up and moved towards the things of God, he says, that's where I won. That's where the gains were. Hebrews chapter 11. What is most important here today? We get one life. This is it. You're living it. There's no, remember Nintendo? There was a power button and a reset button. Remember reset? Somehow in the 80s and 90s, we got programmed in our mind to think that I'm going to get another chance at this. You get one shot at life. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. What are you doing with your life? Oh, I'm saving it. I'm gonna make something of myself. I'm gonna be somebody. How about you spend your life on the things of God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Can I encourage you to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt? The things of God are so much more valuable than the best this world can offer. The very best this world has to offer fails to even compare to what Christ can offer you. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We have wasted all too much time in the pleasures of sin. We have wasted all too much time on our own life and our own will. What if this morning there was a young man that knelt by the altar of God and said, I'm done running. I'm done with my life. I give it to you. Say there was a young lady here this morning that said, I don't want to live for me. I want to live for you. Maybe there's a couple here this morning that in their heart they've been praying and say, God, use us however, wherever, whenever you want. Maybe there's a senior here this morning. Say, just graduated? No. One of our senior saints. Maybe there's a child. Maybe there's an adult being willing to offer their life to be used by God. Operation Elka was an attempt by five evangelical Christian missionaries from the United States to bring Christianity to the Huarani people of the rainforest of Ecuador. Huarani, also known as Aucas, were an isolated tribe known for their violence against both their own people and outsiders who entered into their territory. With the intention of being the first Christians to evangelize the previously uncontacted Huarani people, the missionaries began making regular flights over the Huarani settlements in September of 1955. They dropped gifts, which were reciprocated. After several months of exchanging gifts, on January 3rd, 1956, the missionaries established a camp called Palm Beach, a sandbar along the river, a few kilometers from the Huarani settlements. Their efforts, listen now, their efforts came to an end on January 8th, 1956, when all five, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Uterian, were attacked and speared by a group of Huarani warriors. The news of their deaths
was broadcast around the world. And Life magazine covered the event with a photo essay. Do you know that back in their plane they had weapons to defend themselves? But before they landed, they said, if any harm comes to us, we will take it, because if we use our life to kill them, they will go to a devil's hell. In the plane, but an arm's reach away was enough to defend themselves. The deaths of the men galvanized the missionary effect in the United States, sparking an outpouring of funding for evangelism and evangelistic efforts around the world. Several years later, after the death of the men, listen now, the widow of Jim Elliot, her name was Elizabeth, and the sister of Nate Saint, her name was Rachel, returned to Ecuador as missionaries to live among the Huarani people. Could you imagine walking into the village and to the people and ministering to the people who savagely killed your brother and your husband? This eventually led to the conversion of many, including some of those involved in the killing at Palm Beach. While exposing the tribe to increased influence from the outside, their efforts largely eliminated tribal violence. What's your life worth? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. This is the story we're going to be telling our young people this week. Do I want my child to die physically? No, I don't. As a parent, who wants that? Do I want my child to die in their will, to be used of God? Absolutely. Does God have an opportunity for you today? Oh, yes, he does. We get excited about Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But I ask you here today, regardless of your age, your past, your status, will you lose your life for the gospel's sake? Let's all stand. What is your life worth? This is an opportunity for all. Say, I'm trying to gain what this world has to offer. I promise you, you're wasting your time. I want the pleasures, I want the power, I want the wealth. And when I'm done, I will. You don't realize what you're saying. It may be too late. It may be too late today. Young man, young lady, today you have an opportunity. I don't know when the opportunity will come by again. But today you have an opportunity to lose your life for the gospel's sake. In a moment, the music's going to play, and I invite you to come. Maybe you just want to come down and remind the Lord, God, wherever, whenever, however, I'm yours. Do with me, do with us what you will. Whether you're 12 or 112. Maybe you could help us by coming and praying for our Vacation Bible School here this morning. We're going to be bringing some young people in, some of our kids that come in on the bus this week, and maybe hearing the whosoever gospel, but whosoever consecration. Here's my life for yours. But could you say that here this morning? Are you expecting something of your child that you yourself are not willing to do?
That's good for my kid, but not me. That's just not. I'm old. Whosoever. Hey, you think you're saving your life? You're going to lose it. You'll get to the end and say, I've wasted so much time. Again, you get one shot at this. Use the opportunity that you have now. In a moment, the music will play, pray, and the music will play. I invite you to come. Just talk to the Lord. What if a young man, what if a young lady, what if a couple, a senior, a child, an adult laid themselves on the altar this morning and said, God, however, that's how it started with these young men. Say, yeah, but they lost their life. They changed our world. Because they allowed God to use them as God saw fit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for these verses. Lord, we thank you that you have an opportunity for all of us. All of us could get involved. Lord, I pray today that maybe someone has been wrestling, someone's been struggling in their own heart with holding back their will. God, I pray that today would be the day that they yield. Today would be the day that they give up and say, I give up my life. God, do with it whatever you want. Lord, I pray that today would be the day. Lord, be with our VBS this week. Bless it. We need you here. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, I invite you to come forward.